Our scripture reading this morning is taken in God's Word in Revelation chapter 21. And the text that was chosen by those who made their confession this morning will be verse 24 of this chapter. Reading God's Word in Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, which is 1,400 miles. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, and the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, and the sixth, sardis, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, chrysophrasus, the 11th, janeth, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Holy Spirit seal this word to our hearts. Verse 24 for this morning, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto or into it. These verses of Holy Scripture are as a window to our eye of faith this morning, that we might see the future promised glory that awaits us in Jesus Christ our Lord. The glory of the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the bride of Christ, the elect church gathered in the new heavens and in the new earth. It pictures us going through the gates into this city with resurrected bodies. What greater truth, what more appropriate truth could there be for us to consider on this day that God has made in this creation, this spring day, of the pure and perfect hope that belongs to us? Certainly, it's a word for the aged this morning. To you who know that death is near, to you who know the decay of your body and the carrying of many loads throughout your life that have made you weary and longing for glory, and you are ready to go home, you may hear the Lord in this passage saying to you this morning, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look up by the eye of faith. Do not pity yourself. Let no soul here pity themselves as a child of God. Look up for what is ours. But what better word could a young person hear than this word of God? For it is this word of God, when it's in your heart, that will preserve your entire life from the deceptions of this world and the desires of Satan to take you off the path of eternal life in Christ. This word of God for a young person is going to protect you if it's in your heart. It will protect you from the follies of sin, from the vanishing pleasures of a world of materialism, from a life of casting away Christ, from wasting your life and burning your life up in the smoke of uselessness by following those things of the world that have no profit. It is only when we live with an eye of faith toward this that our life has the true purpose and the true course. How much grief will be avoided? How many scars of sin will be escaped? How many woes not endured if we follow this word and it be in our hearts? Then, as a young person, you will live without regret when you live for the right thing. I know the world says, ah, there you go again, you Christians. Pie in the sky. You're of no use on this earth because you're not fixed on this earth. And we respond, no, the opposite is true. You are of no use for the earth, unbelief, because you have no purpose. You have no goal. The only way that we can use this world, the only way that we can live in joy and peace as profitable servants to God, is when we know this Word of God, and that the whole purpose of our life is that in the end we bring glory and honor into it. So it's very appropriate for confession of faith. This is the hope that you confessed. Confession of faith is a statement, not just of the different doctrines you believe, not just of the life that you must live of holiness, but of the hope that beats in your heart, this eternal city, as a member of it now. And this is the life that you are to have right now, not just then, but a life, as in the text, that brings glory and honor to God. Let's consider for a few moments the city of light. We're going to see who they are that are there, what they bring there, and finally the worship that we offer there. So the first question this morning is, who are those who will walk in this city of light? And the text is very clear in answer. They are the nations they are the saved of the nations, and they are the kings of the earth, of this earth. And the reference then is to the universal church of Jesus Christ, drawn from every nation, the Catholic Church, elect of every age and out of every people, made to be kings. We are made to be kings who reign with Jesus Christ. The beautiful hymn is taken from this verse. By the sea of crystal, saints in glory stand, myriads in number, drawn from every land, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood. They now reign in heaven with the Lamb of God. Now, before looking exactly at who these people are, let's just spend a moment to look at this city. In our text, when it says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, it is a reference to the city. The city that was introduced already in verse 2 that John saw coming down from heaven, prepared of God as a bride adorned for her husband, and the city that the angel said to John, come to a high mountain and I will show you this glorious city, which is the Lamb's wife. And so the city, as we see, is a picture of the glorified church. It's not a literal city, but it speaks to us of the total of God's elect from the beginning to the end of the world, sanctified and glorified in Christ. We read in verse 12 that the 12 gates on the city have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We read that the foundation has 12 layers, and these are the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. This is the Old and New Testament Church of Jesus Christ, the massive Church of Christ, which at last, in the last days, will have been completed and shall be glorified. The text calls them the saved out of the nations, the kings of the earth who pass through the gates. And I'd like to further just notice briefly with you that this city, boys and girls, heaven, this city, is described for us now more in terms of what it is not. It's so hard for us. We cannot conceive of that glory that God will give us. And so it's explained to us in negatives. We are told four things. It has no temple. We will not need to go somewhere to gather with God's people for worship and fellowship with God, but we will have it always, wherever we go. Fellowship with God will have come to its fullness. The tabernacle of God will be with men. There will be no special building in heaven called the temple, because the whole city, the whole new creation, and each child of God will be that temple in which God dwells. Secondly, it has no need of light. And there shall be, we read in verse 25, no night there. Now, this does not necessarily mean that there'll be no sun or moon in the new creation, but the point is that the city has its own source of light, its own utilities, of which there is no shortage. And that light is the glory of God and the Lamb. Verse 23, the Lamb is the light thereof. When we go to heaven, we stand before the light of the glory of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ, face to face. He's our light. He's our understanding. Your loved one who passed away in their youth, or passed away when they're older, stand in that light at this moment. Number three, there are no locks, for the gate shall not be shut, we read in verse 25. There shall be nothing to bar, nothing to interrupt, nothing to threaten our soul's fellowship with God. In the words of the apostles, we shall have access, always we shall have access into the grace where we stand. And then finally, there shall be no sin, no temple, no need of light, no locks, and no sin. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter it into it anything that defileth, and so on, except those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. This city of God is distinguished from all the cities of men that flesh make. The cities of men boast of their red light districts, of their sex traffic, of their cities dedicated to sin. But this city has no sin whatsoever in it. It is gone. We may say it positive. The only thing that is in this city is the work of Christ alone. And our sin, at last, that sinful nature that we carry with us in the most holy places, that sinful nature which is never less than an inch away from our actions, it will be gone. But now who will be in that city? Who will enter it? We read, the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. I'd like to spend just a moment this morning entering into a little dispute. Many disputes are over this passage. All kinds of views are offered on this verse, many false views. I'd like to show the error of two this morning. There's the common error of, in the church world today, the view of the universalist who believes that no one ultimately will be left in hell, and they shall be given, all of hell shall be given throughout eternity a chance to escape. And they would interpret these kings of the earth as ungodly kings who died and went to hell. And then in verse 25, they would say, the gates of it shall not be shut by all day, means that throughout eternity these kings have a second chance to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ, so that throughout all eternity there will be a constant flow, especially of the great kings, the great ones of this world, until it from hell, till at last hell itself is emptied and gone. And this was the view of Rob Bell in his book a decade ago, Love Wins. And this is the view of many. But this is a lie. This is not true. For our Lord Jesus Christ said that hell lasts forever, and that its flame is not quenched, and the teeth gnash forever. In this book of Revelation, Revelation 14, verse 11, speaking of hell, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night. Revelation 16, verse 9, tells us that when even the vials of God's wrath are poured out upon the ungodly and the judgments of God fall upon them, they repent not to give God the glory. Flames of hell do not bring repentance. Jesus Christ and the gospel of his grace preached this morning bring repentance. Hear today his word. We need only look to the last verse again of the chapter. Only they who are written in the Lamb's book of life shall enter this city. The city of God, when Christ returns, comes down complete. It's four square. There's nothing and no one who belong to it missing. There are no additions to it after that day. And the call of the gospel comes to you. And it comes to me. And it comes today. Do not take God lightly. Do not play with his gospel. Do not spurn this Lord Jesus Christ. But flee, flee from the wrath that is to come. Repent and believe. There are others who are closer, this is the second false view that I want to speak of, closer to us in the Reformed community and in Christian colleges, and are rooted, their view is rooted in the theory of common grace. And their view is that these kings that bring their glory and honor into this city are indeed impenitent kings of the earth who go to hell. But on their way to hell, as they are banished, they bring all kinds of stuff into the city, eternal city of God, so to speak, to drop them off. That due to common grace, these kings, these great ones of the earth, have produced, with the help of the church, great works which glorify God. These kings, they say, are the ancient civilizations of the Pharaoh and of the Caesars. These kings are the ones who brought forth culture and beauty on the earth so that it flourished, and the church helped them make this culture and produce this culture. And now they bring the glory of their cultures to the city of God. They speak of the Greeks and their sculptures and their philosophies. They speak of Michelangelo and his statue of David, and Da Vinci and his painting of the Mona Lisa and of the Magna Carta, and of Shakespeare and his sonnets and the Taj Mahal made out of gold. These things, they say, were accomplished by the common grace of God. And now these products of men also come into the city of God. They say that the mission of the church is not so much preach the gospel, the great commission of repentance in Christ, but the mission of the church is to join with the world and produce these products of great culture, and Jerusalem will be filled with them. So to speak, at the end, the city of God is like Shipshawana and the flea market, and people are dropping off treasures that they have. But beloved, the Bible is clear on 2 points. Number one, all the works of men, when Jesus returns, will be burnt up, and they do not enter the city. 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then second, and even more important, the Bible is clear. Only that which is of Christ, saving grace, will enter into that pure city. Perhaps you have visited a museum. Perhaps you watch Antique Roadshow. Beautiful clocks made in England and vases in France and paintings from a great artist are brought in. And they turn it over and they look for the markings, or a piece of china, and they see where it's made. Beloved, when you and I go to glory and walk through the streets and we pick up the glories that God has made of our salvation and we turn it over, you will never read made in China, made in Taiwan, made in England, but you will read in everything you touch in that city, you will pick it up and you will read, made in the blood of Jesus Christ and mined out of the depths, the eternal depths of God's grace. Everything in that city is of Christ and God, the kings of the earth. And the saved of the nations are not unbelievers dropping off at the gates of heaven their products before they go to hell. They are not our best works, but they are the products of God's grace. The saved of the nations and the kings of the earth are his blood-bought children. Nations. Book of Revelation pays attention to nations. Revelation 5, verse 9. John sees the people in heaven right now this morning when Christ has taken the book and sit down at the right hand of God to rule over all things. They cry out, "For thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every nation." The point is that the Gentiles, not just the Jews, the kings of the earth, the nations, the saved of the nations will enter into heaven, the universal church, and kings of the earth. And that kings of the earth could be a reference, if you want to take it that way, that God also converts mighty men. He converts presidents and kings and rulers and leaders. Mighty men obey and fear him. Princes bow before his throne. But I believe the meaning is simply that in Christ, we are made kings. Revelation chapter 1, 5, and 6, unto him who has loved us and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Revelation 5, verse 10, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. As a Christian, we are prophets, priests, and kings. The kings of the earth are those who were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have been converted by the power of the gospel, who are sanctified now in Christ Jesus, and who will walk into glory with praises and honor to God in their hearts. It is the elect. It is the redeemed church. It is a city that is four square, completed by God. It is all those who by grace, that one church, who belong to one Christ, who have one glory, they want to express in their hearts to God, who believe in this one God. The glory of the city is the glory of all races of men redeemed from the earth. Grace in every ethnicity, every color, every kindred. Diversity. The diversity of God's grace in Christ. The world cannot overcome the division of racism. The world and we in our flesh will only replace one racism with another racism, with another prejudice against this now perceived evil group. The world cannot overcome racism. Only Jesus Christ, the saved of the nations, walk in the light of the city, the kings of the earth, made to reign with Christ. Is this you? Is this you because by grace you put not your trust in yourself, not in your color, not in your social status, not in your nationality, but in Christ alone? Do you see the person in the mirror when the word sinner is used? Do you see the guy in the mirror that it's you? And do you look up this morning by grace? You see this city and you say, grace, grace to me. As a king, are you battling your sin? Or are you just surrendering, giving in to your pity, to yourself? As a king, do you plant your feet today in the church of God, among the saints of God, in a godly and holy life? As a king in Christ, are you ready today in your life, tomorrow in your life, to confess him before the world? These are the ones, by God's grace, who enter the city. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. The glory and honor that they bring is the worship of our whole body and soul to God. We bring praise and thanksgiving into this city with all of our being, our mouth, our heart, our body, the glorified saint, the raised saint, in every part of our being. brings glory and honor into it. I want to note with you just briefly that you can study this more carefully for yourself when you get home, but you should note that when the Bible repeats things, it's emphasizing. That's the highlighter. So you see that this phrase, kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, is immediately repeated in verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And then not only is that repeated, but the glory and honor, that they bring glory and honor, that is repeated in the book of Revelation a number of times. Revelation chapter 4, when the saints are before the throne of God, they sing glory and honor. And then the next verse, glory and honor. Revelation 5, the church in heaven, when Christ had ascended into heaven. Verse 12, blessing and honor and so on. Glory and honor. And again in verse 13, glory and honor. They bring glory and honor. To glory is to boast in something. To boast in someone. It is to exalt. It is for your heart to be simply lifted up in praise unto someone who is wonderful, beautiful, and thrilling. It's God. God alone. And honor is to stand in awe. It is to be dumbstruck. It is to be blown away. It is to stand in adoration. It is to say, I can't take this in. This is too much. This is an overload. It is to be swayed in wonder. The whole being of the child of God will light up when we come before God. Glory and honor to God. That's the one thing. The one thing we bring. And the book of Revelation is saying this as a contrast. If we study the book of Revelation, you see that it's always contrasting the worship of the beast with the worship of Christ. The worship of unbelievers and the worship of the church. The worship of Antichrist in Babylon and the worship of Christ and his church. We learn something in this book of Revelation that the devil always tries to imitate God. He tries to become God, to do what God does, to do what God did. And so he counterfeits. The devil has no originality. He envies God. He tries to become God, to replace God. And so he twists. In Revelation 21, you see the contrast. Here's what God is doing. Revelation 18 is what Satan is trying to do. Babylon. You see in the book of Revelation, God and the dragon. God sends his son into the world. The dragon sends his man into the world, the Antichrist. God sends his spirit into the church. The devil sends his false prophets into the hearts of the world. God builds a church, a holy city. The devil builds the kingdom of this world, the anti-Christian kingdom, Babylon. People from all the nations enter into the city of light. People from all nations at last. The devil will succeed in bringing into his Babylon the kingdom of men in this world, worshiping the Antichrist. But here's the difference. Revelation 18, verse 2. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. The city of God comes down from God, perfected for all eternity. There are only all human beings at this moment. There are only two kinds. Both are worshipers. Cain and Abel both worshipped. There are those, all nations in sin worship and bring their boasts and have their glory in darkness and in the evil and worship the beast. And the other, by grace, worship God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And they say, Thou art worthy to receive all glory and honor. To which one of these do you belong? You must belong to one of the two. I will put enmity between thee, devil, and the woman. Confession of faith is that God has put one thing in my soul at bottom. This is what constantly comes back. This is at last the thing that will deliver me from my sin. Glory and honor to my God. That's what it means to confess faith. To confess faith means that the most radical, all-embracing, consuming work of God is within you. That the purpose of your life is to bring praise and thanksgiving to God. That's life. That's the purpose of life. It means that confessing your faith will mean that you will live a life steadfast in the promises of God, that you will live a life filled with repentance from sin, that you will live a life committed to the church and to the hearing and promotion of the gospel, that you will live a life of godliness, that you will live a life close to God. These offer endless worship. They shall walk in the city of light. The dominant thing at the moment of the death of a believer, at the moment of our death, and the dominant thing when we are raised with new bodies and enter into the new heavens and earth, the dominant thing, the thing that will hit us, is its light. For the Lamb of God is the light thereof. We have come to know the glow of that light through Jesus Christ, working in our hearts faithfully, giving us to belong to Him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But when you stand in glory, the infinite, unimaginable, perfectly sufficient, tender, compassionate, warm light and love of Christ shall flood you. And you shall be changed in a moment in that light. And in that light, you will walk with unending praise to God. To walk in Scripture is our whole life. It's our gifts. It's our talents. It's our calling. When we go to heaven, we're not just going to all enlist in the eternal choir. I don't mean to belittle the praise of heaven. It will be glorious. Going to heaven just doesn't mean just we stand and sing. We will walk in our calling, with our gifts, with what God has given us to do eternally in that new heavens and earth. God is fitting us today for that place. This life is not a waste of time. This life is God molding and preparing us and fitting us that we might walk in the light of the city. And we will bring glory and honor to Him. But we will do that today by His grace. That's a Christian. I will keep my garments clean. I will fight sin. I will not partake in the worship of this world and its sins. I won't join them. That work of grace has begun in us. One day, our sin and flesh will fall away. We will have perfect fellowship with God and the Lamb. Keep that hope right here before your eyes, and you will have purpose for life, and you will have strength and comfort. And then one day, all of us, by God's grace, as His children, will stand and go through this gate. And these will be the words that we say. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Thy word. We pray that the hope that is above may live in our heart every day. Bless Thy word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.